at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, friends, family alike, we are back for hour two of the Home Improvement Show. I want to welcome 97.1 listeners in to this broadcast. We are here for you. Anything home improvement that you've got today, remember that your calls, your questions are actually what make this show work, make it so great, and such good topics and the unexpected topics. We always love that. Anything that you have going on around your house, I can help you out today. Get with me at 314-436-7900 or toll-free 800-925-1120. We've had some really interesting conversations in the first hour, some great questions on water heaters and the popping and cleaning plaster walls and all about the paint is a big thing there, making sure you, and when you go to paint, really consider looking for, even if you go to a flat paint, you can upgrade to a washable paint that will last longer for you, and you can clean up smudges and all of that. So it's really more about the paint than the plaster. So we've had a lot of great conversations, plenty of time for the next hour for everybody here today. Again, 314-436-7900 is where you find me. And last week, I wanted to touch on some caulk, because last week, and I'm glad I made it to the second hour, because it was in the second hour we got a question from Bob about actually a particular type of caulk, and one that I hadn't heard of or used myself in the past. And I was also kind of explaining that, and I was even off a little bit because I haven't really worked in the field building. I've been doing the upfront consulting on projects, meeting with clients and talking about their projects, their issues, their repairs, what needs to happen for the house, how the company I work for, Mosby Building Arts, can help you through that journey. And so I haven't been out there purchasing the caulk, doing things. So I was kind of explaining in my answer on the caulk for him, and he says, well, do you think this would be a good caulk around my windows? I said, well, if it's a urethane base, if it's a polyurethane based type of caulk, which it kind of sounded from the description that it might have been, then it probably would be good for vinyl replacement windows with pretty much any type of siding, brick, whatever, wood siding, vinyl siding, anything around it. And so I actually spoke with one of my project managers, and that's also kind of a go-to source with me because they're working on this every day. And for us, it's a lot more about lasting value. When we give a 10-year workmanship warranty on something, it doesn't necessarily cover the actual product itself, but obviously we want to use products that can at least stand to that 10 years if possible, to help go hand in hand with that workmanship warranty. So again, we're looking at those types of products and the experience of what has worked best that we've seen, what's lasted the longest in those urethane around the windows on the exterior is the best thing there. So the caulk that the caller was looking at and asking about is actually not a urethane caulk. It's basically a rubber elastomeric sealant that is meant mostly for, I think the main intention was for roofers and contractors looking for a sealant that works in wet conditions, which worries me in general, coming from this and going, if you put it on in a dry, better condition, would it work better? Would it last longer? Or if it works in a wetter condition, or if something is wet, does it last 8 years instead of 12? Or, you know, how is that really applying caulk in a drier condition is really the best method that I would recommend for sure trying to go to. So again, and I started the conversation with my project manager. He's one of our exteriors project manager, because he was actually listening to the show, started texting. Nope, that's not. He knew the brand. He knew what it was. He's like, we would not use that on windows. And so I had a good conversation with him. And it's basically rubber, and it can do the same thing that silicone caulk does on the exterior of a home against a vinyl window or vinyl siding or metal wrap work, because it's so rubbery. What we're really looking for is the adhesion, and it does have seal in it, so it's going to adhere better. But if it's rubbery like that, over time, it's going to kind of stiffen, get a little bit harder than a urethane would. And the issue that we have seen in the field, that I have personally seen in the field with both of those and with silicone for sure, is basically when it goes bad, you can't tell. So the window or the metal, they expand, they contract at different rates, it kind of moves. So it unadheres from the actual surface, but it still looks perfect. You can't tell until you push on the metal or you move something and you go, yep, as soon as I move that, there's no adhesion. And so water, when it rains, is running right behind there and getting in. And so having a better sealant that seals, that stays more pliable for a longer amount of time, is just a better situation. And that's why we would recommend going to a urethane for a vinyl replacement window. And we also want to really consider where and when you should caulk the outside of a house. So we're going to get into our first break. I do want to remind everybody, we got 3 segments left, plenty of time to get into any of your calls or questions. Feel free to give me a shout, 314-436-7900. But we can kind of touch on where those caulks go, when and why, and different types of caulk when we return right after this. All right, we are back. Got a lot going on today. Had a great first hour into the second hour here. Welcome in, 97.1 listeners. You can find me right here. Any questions about your home, whatever you have, curiosities going on, DIY projects, maybe you're thinking about what product might be best for something, feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. Consider me your free advice for the next 45 minutes here. We can help you out for sure. And we were going over caulks and where to caulk on the outside of a house. So we touched on what type of caulk to use on the windows outside, what's going to last the longest, best, we like for our 10-year workmanship warranty and everything here at Mosby Building Arts. So, but when you put an exteriors home together, you put the outside of the home together, it definitely depends on different products that you use, different types of siding. But there's some things that are done always that need to be done, that should be done. I shouldn't say are done always, but definitely need to be done always, and it would be great to be done always. And it creates areas. There's flashings and flashing tapes and basically creating what we call a watershed plane behind the siding on the wall of the home. So if you do this properly, number one, if you could imagine, say I stripped all the siding off your home and I wrapped this house with a house wrap and I put in new windows that are like born in with the house, just like when it was built, that has new construction fins that I can flash to and keep water out, air infiltration out, there's these areas at the tops of doors and windows and at any type of interchanges. So if you have stone that turns to vinyl siding or brick and then vinyl siding starts, or you have something on the first half of the house and the siding's on your gables, the big triangles, but it's not below, there are these areas that we can flash and we can control, and we can get water that gets behind that siding back out onto the surface where it needs to go. So imagine if I were to strip your house down, wrap flash, do everything I need to this house, and before I put the new siding back on, I say, you know what, you're good. I'll be back in 11 months. We'll wrap up your job 11 months from now. Put the siding on. Your home will look gorgeous, but you will not get a leak in the interim during that whole time, because we have sealed this house for air, for water. It's almost impenetrable on those things. So you know that you're protected. You know you're good. But the trick comes in when you put that siding on, you got to watch the caulking, because when you think about caulking a window, well, if I have a head flashing, metal flash, some they might call it a Z flashing, a head flashing, they put it over doors. Sometimes when you purchase a door, you see a door in the store, you might see an arrow on the glass of the door pointing up that has a note that says, For the warranty, this has to be installed with flashing at the top of the door, and they're trying to keep the water that gets behind siding from getting in and on and around the frame of the door, and this is why those frames rot out like they do, even if it's at the bottom corners. You got water running around, working in, and it's not always absorbing up. It can, but it's coming around also. So when we do that, we need the water that gets back there to get back out. So if you caulk all four sides of a window and you caulk across that top edge, you trap water behind that siding, and that's where it's supposed to get out. Same thing with if you have, say you have brick that comes up to the bottom of your first floor windows, and then it starts with your siding from there up. Well, you should have a piece of metal flashing there, and then you don't want to caulk the siding to the brick or to that metal flashing, because you want that water to come out onto the surface and leave. And if you do caulk there, you trap it behind, and that can cause more problems. So sometimes, even though it might look better caulked, we're going, you know, we need to leave these open for these purposes of getting water to go where we want to go. And of course, again, you've got the different types of caulk that go all over in different areas. So that roof caulk we were talking about, the rubber elastomeric sealant, you know, good uses for that is galvanized metal, aluminum flashing, basically metal skylights, you know, because they're metal, gutters, downspouts, ductwork, chimneys, all these, you know, metal areas are a great place for that type of caulk. Where they say not to use that is your rubber membrane roofs, EDPM type roofs, any type of polystyrene insulation foam, any kind of poly like that, or silicone type products, rubbery, it does not work very well on. So silicone caulks, everybody knows, everybody loves silicone caulks. That is basically your kitchen and bath caulk. That is your sinks to your solid surface countertops, your tile to your countertop, your tile to the bathtub, your shower walls in the corners, and all in really wet areas like that. But good surfaces that don't move a whole lot, and you're just doing those inside corners in those areas. Of course, latex caulks, our painters have always talked about using a really good latex caulk called Big Stretch that really gives them a good adhesion, and it'll expand with some of those cracks in the corners and everything well. And of course, your latexes are for your painted areas. They're for the interior type areas, the trims, the trim to drywall, the inside of the windows, anything that's considered a dry area is where that latex type caulk really comes into play and works really well. And then you've got your, they call it a caulk, expandable foam caulk, polyurethane spray foam sealant. That is, you know, more of the can with the straw where you're filling big gaps. It's expandable. You got to, works great for insulation. You really want to watch it when you're going around doors and windows. The best type of insulation for around a door or a window, but definitely they make a lower expansion. It doesn't expand quite as hard. I've seen this expandable foam put into areas and 2-3 days later start still oozing out, especially if it's something connecting onto the outside of the home with your temperature differences and everything changing on the outside of the house with temperature. I've seen it come out a few days later. We go back, clean it up, cut off the expandable foam, caulk it, paint it. 3 days later, it does it again. It's still expanding back there. So definitely watch with your windows and your doors. But it can be a great insulation value and great for air blockage. And another thing to think about when you're looking at insulation, especially around windows and doors, is your air, creating an air gap is the best thing that you can do. So when you put that foam around a window between the framing and the window, kind of watch how far you put it in. What you want to do is get it to fill the gap sideways, but not necessarily fill the gap from front to back 100%. So if the foam stays away from the window flange and you create an air gap between the flange nailed to the wall and your flashing tape on top of that, and then you've got your low expansion foam and it seals the framing to the window, but you can leave a half inch or an inch air gap around there, that's going to be your best insulation point. So you kind of mark that little straw nozzles to where you only stick it in to the framing about a half an inch and just shoot that in there around steady pace, and it'll leave a gap and that will insulate it really better than anything. So paying attention to how that's done. And then, of course, when you get these products, paying attention to the expiration dates, especially on that expandable foam. Those products and the expiration dates can really, you can end up with poor results. It doesn't come out great. The texture may change and it just isn't suitable anymore for the use if it's past that expiration date. So keep your eyes on that and pay attention to that on all of your sealants, caulks, everything that you're doing. Sometimes we forget. I talk to a lot of people and they have stuff or they're like, yeah, I bought a faucet and I never got it put in. I just never got around to it. Well, how long have you had it here? And they says, well, about a year to 2 years. And then you look at the box and you find a date that it's really been 4 or 5 and maybe the rubber gets. So it's hard to remember, you know, the timelines. And so check the dates on this stuff and make sure before you go to use it and get a good quality, up-to-date product that's going to work and last for you. That means everything in your maintenance and how things last and work when you perform them. So again, we've got another half of the show. We've got plenty of time for everybody. Feel free to give me a shout. Any questions that you have, I'm here for you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 is where you can find me. We got 2 segments left, a lot of time to get to any questions you need. Stick with us. Stick around. We'll have more to come right after these messages. All right, we are back. Plenty of time for everybody here. We got 2 more full segments left. Plenty of time for your questions. 314-436-7900. Anything you got going on, anything you might be curious about around your home, we can help you out today. Again, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And we've been talking about these products and the right places to use different products and trying to get things to hold up to a 10-year workmanship warranty. But thinking about remodeling projects, getting into considering the products that you put into a remodeling project. I was meeting with somebody a few days ago, looking at some bathroom, adding a bathroom to the home, and talking about the maybe the products that get chosen and the lifetime and the warranty and the expectancy. And there's a big thing about if you're committed to your home, how long do you plan on staying in your home? Who are these products for and who are these warranties for? It is great that the warranty is transferable, so that's a good thing that can get passed on. But when you're choosing through products and you're selecting things, it's really cool and nice. And, you know, it's good to be able to select things for yourself. Think about when you go shopping for clothes, you're doing that for you. When you pick a computer, you're looking for the things that you're going to use and enjoy and work, and you're not really thinking, well, maybe I should get this feature on my laptop because the next person might, you know, you just don't go there. Cars are kind of the same way. It's an easy spot to say, yep, I'm buying this for me. I'm going to splurge. I'm going to get these other features. I'm going to do this because I'm going to get to use it. I'm going to use it to the end, and this is great. And this is something good for your home as well, where, you know, the client I was meeting with the other day, he's talking about the possibilities of his education, his career, and the company that he works for of getting possibly transferred. So doesn't want to get too crazy or too involved or spend too much, because you might end up going to sell this house in 3, 4, 5 years. And sometimes when you choose things for yourself and you get into these really good projects and products, it might take a little time to get back some of that return on investment when you choose those things. And so we were kind of talking about that, and I was telling him about another client I had years ago where we built a bar in their basement. And they had a bar and wanted it redone, and really looking at something for them, this like the Irish pub bar, like very nice stuff, very, very nice products in this. And when you think about a bar in a basement, there's so many levels of what that can be. Basically, think about it, it's a kitchen. If you take out the stove and the vent fan, the exhaust fan above the stove, you pretty much have a bar now in most of these cases of us building these bars in the basement. So you end up with a full refrigerator, you end up with an ice maker, a microwave, possibly a lot of times we'll have dishwashers in them, because think about all the different people and the stuff, how nice it would be to just be able to collect everything, run a dishwasher down at your bar, put it away later. So you get into these, and they can be the same expense as a kitchen remodel. In this particular client, when we went over everything and the whole job and the drawings and how everything was going to be, and we really sat and had a heart-to-heart, and he was basically explaining to me that both he and his wife were engineers, and they got transferred a lot. They worked for the steel mill, and they would get transferred, and he said basically when they came to St. Louis, they were in the middle of a bathroom remodel when they got the call to get transferred. So they started kind of going, okay, let's simplify some of these products, because they had went to some expense and chose a lot of things for them. So they started to simplify it, because now we're selling the house. And so we're having this heart to heart, and he's basically told me, understand, I'm going to think about this, but it's really the fact of how long am I thinking I'll have it, or am I afraid I might not have it? Because I understand I'm doing this for me, and I want to make sure that it'd be nice if I could have it for a while. And he had us do it. He came back, said, yep, let's go ahead and do it. And we did. And then I don't even think it was a year. It might have been 9 months later. I got a phone call, and it was that client. And the first words out of his mouth were, I'm never remodeling again. And I said, oh, no, no. And he was getting transferred. And I guess he was lucky if he had this bar for a year. So having a commitment, understanding what those situations are, is a good thing for our clients to understand what they're getting and to pick things for them and to be happy with their decisions and get great quality things in their products and everything in there is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But you definitely have to think about that commitment to where you are, what are you doing, how long, all of that can really play into the pick of, you know, we have a lot of conversations where it's like, okay, do I create this area for me and I stay here forever? Do I do more of a cosmetic update to make it nice and sellable and maintainable so that people like it in the next couple few years, so it makes it a better sell and a better product to sell and people will want it? So there's all these different levels of remodeling to be considered in what is your goal for the home. So that's a lot of the conversations that I'm having with people, is not just about that, but it's about the financing. It's about how long do you plan on staying? What do you plan on doing? The question comes up all the time. It's so much about the situation and the people and what's happening. One of my favorite questions is, if you are staying and you do, you know, you're planning this for you, because, all right, we are back. Plenty of time for everybody here. We got two more full segments left. Plenty of time for your questions. 314-436-7900. Anything you got going on, anything you might be curious about around your home, we can help you out today. Again, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And we've been talking about these products and the right places to use different products and trying to get things to hold up to a 10-year workmanship warranty. But thinking about remodeling projects, getting into considering the products that you put into a remodeling project, I was meeting with somebody a few days ago, looking at some bathroom, adding a bathroom to the home, and talking about the products that get chosen and the lifetime and the warranty and the expectancy. And there's a big thing about, if you're committed to your home, how long do you plan on staying in your home? Who are these products for and who are these warranties for? It is great that the warranty is transferable, so that's a good thing that can get passed on. But when you're choosing through products and you're selecting things, it's really cool and nice. And, you know, it's good to be able to select things for yourself. Think about when you go shopping for clothes, you're doing that for you. When you pick a computer, you're looking for the things that you're going to use and enjoy and work, and you're not really thinking, well, maybe I should get this feature on my laptop because the next person might, you know, you just don't go there. Cars are kind of the same way. It's an easy spot to say, yep, I'm buying this for me. I'm going to splurge. I'm going to get these other features. I'm going to do this because I'm going to get to use it. I'm going to use it to the end, and this is great. And this is something good for your home as well, where, you know, the client I was meeting with the other day, He's talking about the possibilities of his education, his career, and the company that he works for of getting possibly transferred. So doesn't want to get too crazy or too involved or spend too much, because you might end up going to sell this house in 3, 4, 5 years. And sometimes when you choose things for yourself and you get into these really good projects and products, it might take a little time to get back some of that return on investment when you choose those things. And so we were kind of talking about that, and I was telling him about another client I had years ago where we built a bar in their basement. And they had a bar and wanted it redone, and really looking at something for them, this like the Irish pub bar, like very nice stuff, very, very nice products in this. And when you think about a bar in a basement, there's so many levels of what that can be. Basically, think about it, it's a kitchen. If you take out the stove and the vent fan, the exhaust fan above the stove, you pretty much have a bar now in most of these cases of us building these bars in the basement. So you end up with a full refrigerator, you end up with an ice maker, a microwave, possibly a lot of times we'll have dishwashers in them, because think about all the different people and the stuff, how nice it would be to just be able to collect everything, run a dishwasher down at your bar, put it away later. So you get into these, and they can be the same expense as a kitchen remodel. In this particular client, when we went over everything and the whole job and the drawings and how everything was going to be, and we really sat and had a heart to heart, and he was basically explaining to me that both he and his wife were engineers, and they got transferred a lot. They worked for the steel mill, and they would get transferred. And he said, basically, when they came to St. Louis, they were in the middle of a bathroom remodel when they got the call to get transferred. So they started kind of going, okay, let's simplify some of these products, because they had went to some expense and chose a lot of things for them. So they started to simplify it, because now we're selling the house. And so we're having this heart to heart, and he's basically told me, understand, I'm going to think about this, but it's really the fact of how long am I thinking I'll have it, or am I afraid I might not have it? Because I understand I'm doing this for me, and I want to make sure that it'd be nice if I could have it for a while. And he had us do it. He came back, said, yep, let's go ahead and do it. And we did. And then I don't even think it was a year. It might have been 9 months later. I got a phone call, and it was that client. And the first words out of his mouth were, I'm never remodeling again. And I said, oh, no, no. And he was getting transferred. And I guess he was lucky if he had this bar for a year. So having a commitment, understanding what those situations are, is a good thing for our clients to understand what they're getting and to pick things for them and to be happy with their decisions and get great quality things in their products and everything in there is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But you definitely have to think about that commitment to where you are, what are you doing, how long, all of that can really play into the pick of, you know, we have a lot of conversations where it's like, okay, do I create this area for me and I stay here forever? Do I do more of a cosmetic update to make it nice and sellable and maintainable so that people like it in the next couple few years, so it makes it a better sell and a better product to sell and people will want it? So there's all these different levels of remodeling to be considered in What is your goal for the home? So that's a lot of the conversations that I'm having with people is not just about that, but it's about the financing. It's about how long do you plan on staying? What do you plan on doing? The question comes up all the time. It's so much about the situation and the people and what's happening. One of my favorite questions is, if you are staying and you do, you know, you're planning this for you because you are going to be here for a long time, what's after that? What is your plans for the house after that? Is there a child or children that might want to live in the house after you're done with it? Or are they all, you know, a lot of times they're all scattered. All they're going to do is sell it. So I'm going to do this for me. I'll be here till I'm done. And then you consider that return on, well, if they get a little less for the house because of I overspent a little bit, at least I enjoyed it. Consider it like a good time, like vacation, all these things that everyone spends their money on to be happy and peace of mind. And all of that is a great thing to do. So there's even decisions on what's after. What am I selecting for if my kids are going to live in this house or not? There's so much conversation on what's happening later. It's just a very, very important thing to help everyone figure out and counsel them through what will work for them, what makes sense for them, and then how can we help you out with that? Whether it's simple cosmetic, we do the minimal stuff, but we maintain it well. And of course, maintenance is always very, very important on your homes. Everyone can come into a home that's not well maintained and go, oh, we got some work to do here. They can even come into a home that might seem a little outdated, but when you look at it, they go, it's really maintained. I mean, this everything lasted. It's clean. It's worked. There's not water issues. They fix things. That's just as important as even the remodeling and cosmetic, and you know, just keeping up with that maintenance is very important also. So, hey, we've got one more segment coming up after this. Plenty of time in there to throw in a question. If you have one for me, 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. So more to come in the last segment right after these messages. All right, we're back. Hey, we've got about 10 minutes for you. If you have anything going on, you got a quick question for me, feel free to call in 314-436-7900. And we've been going through all types of different work products, everything to consider and work through and think about while having damage repaired and remodeling jobs done and getting your house ready for the next phase of, do you stay in it for 20 years? Are you selling it? And two, what type of level of work, maintenance, and remodeling are you doing to, you know, get it ready for sale? Or is it all for you and you're gonna stay there forever? But, you know, something we haven't talked about in a little while is just the labor shortage that is we're in the middle of and has been going on for years now since the pandemic, since COVID started, and just how expensive labor is getting and the cost of basically just raising labor rates to find good workers, to keep good workers, to train good workers. One of the surprising of how they've been raising all these rates when you look at the cost and the investment in what labor rates are, a lot of the increases are for the beginning people. It's getting in faster, or it's getting them to a higher rate quicker, or getting them the skills that they need faster to try and get enough people just to have people to perform all the work out there. So they kind of, with the pandemic and in 2022, 50 million workers quit their job. That's, they call it the Great Resignation is what I've heard. And since then, with the labor force and trying to get more people in and trying to train people we're kind of describing that as the great reshuffle. It's like, how do we get everybody where we need them and have enough people? And you know, quit rates remain high. Hiring rates are definitely higher and outpace them. There's many more jobs and flexibility of work-life balance. They're doing so much more to try and make the work and the jobs more appealing to everybody. So, you know, having work-life balance and being very flexible in these jobs, increasing the compensations, strong company cultures are more important than ever right now to have good people, keep good workers, train good workers. There's so many challenges in trying to have enough workers to fill the jobs right now. And some of the latest data that I kind of looked up when I was researching some of this is basically there's 9.5 million job openings in the United States and 6.5 million unemployed workers. So everyone could go to work and we still wouldn't have enough workers to take every job that is available. So looking at different areas, because I've also had some conversations and I had a client that was even talking about, well, you know, in this state, when we were, I've got a relative there and it seems like the construction is much more cost effective there than here, and how and where are the differences? Well, when you look at the different areas, they kind of had a study on how many jobs are available and how are they getting, you know, how many people do they have to fill them? So in different areas of the country, like in Washington, they have 77 available workers for every 100 jobs that are open. In Missouri, we're as low as 53 available workers for every 100 jobs open. So we barely have half the people to fill the workforce that's available for us at this time. And 44% of having enough workers is the lowest I saw in the country. And that one is, it's just that there's a lot of jobs out there and not enough people to fill them. So what's happening is the skilled workers in the more rare positions are the labor rates are going way up for that. And then the training went up for most, and bringing people in, what you pay a helper is also what has gone up so much on labor rate increases. It's quite amazing. So I looked through some of the statistics across the country of the different types of jobs that, you know, how much the salaries have increased. People that work on elevators and escalators went up over 20% in their pay in the past 5 years. Tapers, just taping joint compound, is about 19%. Some real rare stuff like terrazzo finishers went up 35%. All of these positions, everything went up more than 15% or so on across the board with basically everything. Plaster, stucco, masons went up a lot. Stone masons, 32% in a labor increase over the past few years. Roofers, here's where it gets interesting. So like roofers' pay went up 21.3%. A helper for a roofer, someone just coming in to that trade that doesn't really know much, that they're going to be training and just helps out and just works, their labor rate went up 37.6%. So that's some of the biggest one. The construction trade helpers went up 28%. Carpenter helpers went up 25%. So some of the biggest increases is We're trying to get people to decide to do these jobs and take these positions. And this is where the expense of all construction, remodeling, all that is going up. So they're taking journeyman carpenters and they're getting them from new hires to being a journeyman in half the time that it used to take, because they just need to speed it up and they need the people, because there's just not enough of us out there to do all of the work that we need. And this was something in my eyes that was in the making a very, very long time. It's not like because the pandemic hit, it just happened. I think it sped it up because a lot of people just said, you know what, I'm close enough, I'm done. I had a couple different clients that retired early. I had one that was a school teacher. And if you've been a school teacher, I mean, I respect that job. I wish they paid everyone more that could do that job. It's such an important job and task that we have for our country. And imagine you've been a school teacher for 25, 28, 30 years, and the pandemic hits. Well, they had a retirement plan, and she said that was it. She just retired 2-3 years early. She said, I'm just done. It's so different. It's so crazy. I just can't handle it anymore. So a lot of people did that, I think, that kind of sped this process up. But even for me, when I was in high school, I mean, looking back at my history, I was a really good student in shop, in the work release class for having a job, and in gym class. I did great at these. I was pretty good at math. The rest of the stuff, I was a strong C-minus student, and I had to work pretty decently to stay there. And of course, everybody was, go to school for this, go to this college, get into this college. You have to get into college. You have to do this. You have to do that. No one ever said, maybe you should consider a trade, because, boy, you really ate shop class, and did you enjoy it? No one ever talked about anything. We've been encouraging everybody to just get a college degree and not get into these trades for so long that I think that even helped kind of create that backup that, for me, I had to go to school. I had to not make it through. I had to change and make different decisions to finally go, you know what, I'm going to do this instead, because I enjoy it and I'm just not really working out with some of this education things. And having, being able to go to a trade and have an education that gives you that trade, where you don't necessarily need to know a bunch about history to learn to build a house, is a great thing. And it can get great people into great positions in doing great things over their career. And it's just a wonderful thing to do. So I encourage people to think about this, encourage people to consider the trades and working, and hopefully this labor shortage starts to work itself out here, you know, over time, over years. I can't wait to see the end of it. So, hey, had a blast, had a great time, a lot of great calls, a lot of great questions from everybody. Can't wait to do it again next week. So for everybody else, I'll talk to you next week. And from now to then, just be good to your homes. All right, we're back. Hey, we've got about 10 minutes for you. If you have anything going on, you got a quick question for me, feel free to call in 314-436-7900. And we've been going through all types of different work products, everything to consider and work through and think about while having damage repaired and remodeling jobs done and getting your house ready for the next phase of, do you stay in it for 20 years? Are you selling it? And two, what type of level of work, maintenance, and remodeling are you doing to, you know, get it ready for sale? Or is it all for you and you're gonna stay there forever? But, you know, something we haven't talked about in a little while is just the labor shortage that is we're in the middle of and has been going on for years now, since the pandemic, since COVID started, and just how expensive labor is getting, and the cost of basically just raising labor rates to find good workers, to keep good workers, to train good workers. One of the surprising of how they've been raising all these rates, when you look at the cost and the investment in what labor rates are, a lot of the increases are for the beginning people. It's getting in faster, or it's getting them to a higher rate quicker, or getting them the skills that they need faster to try and get enough people, just to have people to perform all the work out there. So they kind of, with the pandemic, and in 2022, 50 million workers quit their job. That's, they call it the Great Resignation, is what I've heard. And since then, with the labor force and trying to get more people in and trying to train people, we're kind of describing that as the great reshuffle. It's like, how do we get everybody where we need them and have enough people? And you know, quit rates remain high. Hiring rates are definitely higher and outpace them. There's many more jobs and flexibility of work-life balance. They're doing so much more to try and make the work and the jobs more appealing to everybody. So, you know, having work-life balance and being very flexible in these jobs, increasing the compensations, strong company cultures are more important than ever right now to have good people, keep good workers, train good workers. There's so many challenges in trying to have enough workers to fill the jobs right now. And some of the latest data that I kind of looked up when I was researching some of this is basically there's 9.5 million job openings in the United States and 6.5 million unemployed workers. So everyone could go to work, and we still wouldn't have enough workers to take every job that is available. So looking at different areas, because I've also had some conversations, and I had a client that was even talking about, well, you know, in this state, when we were, I've got a relative there, and it seems like the construction is much more cost effective there than here. And how and where are the differences? Well, when you look at the different areas, they kind of had a study on how many jobs are available and how are they getting, you know, how many people do they have to fill them? So in different areas of the country, like in Washington, they have 77 available workers for every 100 jobs that are open. In Missouri, we're as low as 53 available workers for every 100 jobs open. So we barely have half the people to fill the workforce that's available for us at this time. And 44% of having enough workers is the lowest I saw in the country. And that one is, it's just, there's a lot of jobs out there and not enough people to fill them. So what's happening is the skilled workers in the more rare positions are the labor rates are going way up for that. And then the training went up for most, and bringing people in, the what you pay a helper is also what has gone up so much on labor rate increases. It's quite amazing. So I looked through some of the statistics across the country of the different types of jobs that, you know, how much the salaries have increased. People that work on elevators and escalators went up over 20% in their pay in the past 5 years. Tapers, just taping joint compound, is about 19%. Some real rare stuff like terrazzo floor, Terrazzo finishers went up 35%. All of these positions, everything went up more than 15% or so on across the board with basically everything. Plaster, stucco, masons went up a lot. Stone masons, 32% in a labor increase over the past few years. Roofers, here's where it gets interesting. So, like, roofers' pay went up 21.3%. A helper for a roofer, someone just coming in to that trade that doesn't really know much, that they're going to be training and just helps out and just works, their labor rate went up 37.6%. So that's some of the biggest one. The construction trade helpers went up 28%. Carpenter helpers went up 25%. So some of the biggest increases is we're trying to get people to decide to do these jobs and take these positions. And this is where the expense of all construction, remodeling, all that is going up. So they're taking journeyman carpenters and they're getting them from new hires to being a journeyman in half the time that it used to take, because they just need to speed it up and they need the people, because there's just not enough of us out there to do all of the work that we need. And this was something in my eyes that was in the making a very, very long time. It's not like because the pandemic hit, it just happened. I think it sped it up because a lot of people just said, you know what, I'm close enough, I'm done. I had a couple different clients that retired early. I had one that was a school teacher. And if you've been a school teacher, I mean, I respect that job. I wish they paid everyone more that could do that job. It's such an important job and task that we have for our country. And imagine you've been a school teacher for 25, 28, 30 years and the pandemic hits. Well, they had a retirement plan and she said that was it. She just retired 2-3 years early. She said, I'm just done. It's so different. It's so crazy. I just can't handle it anymore. So a lot of people did that, I think, that kind of sped this process up. But even for me, when I was in high school, I mean, looking back at my history, I was a really good student in shop, in the work release class for having a job, and in gym class. I did great at these. I was pretty good at math. The rest of the stuff, I was a strong C-minus student, and I had to work pretty decently to stay there. And of course, everybody was, go to school for this, go to this college, get into this college. You have to get into college. You have to do this. You have to do that. No one ever said, maybe you should consider a trade because, boy, you really ace shop class. And did you enjoy it? No one ever talked about anything. We've been encouraging everybody to just get a college degree and not get into these trades for so long that I think that even helped kind of create that backup that, for me, I had to go to school. I had to not make it through. I had to change and make different decisions to finally go, you know what, I'm going to do this instead, because I enjoy it and I'm just not really working out with some of this education things, and being able to go to a trade and have an education that gives you that trade where you don't necessarily need to know a bunch about history to learn to build a house is a great thing. And it can get great people into great positions and doing great things over their career. And it's just a wonderful thing to do. So I encourage people to think about this, encourage people to consider the trades and working, and hopefully this labor shortage starts to work itself out here, you know, over time, over years. I can't wait to see the end of it. So, hey, had a blast, had a great time, a lot of great calls, a lot of great questions from everybody. Can't wait to do it again next week. So for everybody else, I'll talk to you next week. And from now to then, just be good to your homes.